Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, they may not have been the favourites a couple of weeks ago, but after last night's remarkable performance, Spain are into the final of Euro 2024. And it was Lamine Yamal's wonder goal which saw the Spanish side overtake France. The 16-year-old became the youngest goal scorer in the history of this tournament. Let's take a listen to the moment that goal was scored.
Nice curl! Oh, I say, what an unbelievable goal! The 16-year-old Lamine Yamal! Is absolutely astonishing. He becomes the youngest player ever to score in a European Championship.
This kid is already world class.
Guillaume Balaguer is a football journalist and he joins me on the line. So Guillaume, we'll talk about the match as a whole in a minute, but that goal, we just heard it there, it's going to be talked about for years, isn't it?
No doubt. It was a win for Spain. It was a win for the neutrals. I think this is the way it's done. With everybody working hard for each other, with really good football and with likable characters like Lamine Yamal, means that it's easy for everybody to enjoy this. There's a lot of joy in what's happening. But to actually see this kid, who will be 17, so, you know, still a kid in 2 years, I think, the 13th, the day before the final, to actually finish a move like that at the time he did it, because I think that's important. I know the context will be forgotten, but we were 1-0 down. France did four counters that threatened us with a second goal. And then he goes against the tide at that point, and he scored that moment that changed completely the dynamic of the game. And after that, Spain did the Spain thing of trying to look for a second goal, and a second goal came 4 minutes later. So it was a crucial moment. One in which, speaking to him after the game, was like, yeah, just so, you know, it could be a good opportunity to shoot. I did so. 16-year-old who's got milk in his veins, but certainly a lot of talent in his feet.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the goal about five times before we spoke this morning, because he didn't just score. It was phenomenal. You can't see it enough times. It's just one of those goals that will live on in history.
And you agree with me that he had it in his mind from the beginning. So he was making the diagonal from the left-hand side into the edge of the box. Who does it remind you of, by the way? Left-footed, short, which is from outside the box and puts it in the right place. Let's not say the word, but looks like Messi.
Really?
And he just put it. It does. It does a little bit. He's got that thing. And by the way, Messi wasn't this good at 16. He wasn't. It doesn't mean that Lamine is going to be Messi. I think Messi had much more in his brain in terms of how he understood the game. At the moment, Lamine is a finisher, he's a dribbler. He's got a lot, but not sure we'll get to that level. In any case, it reminds you of him. And what you got was a finish that needed to hit the post for Mañan not to reach it. But that's exactly where he went.
Yeah, I was looking as well at those photographs of Messi with this guy, with Yamal, when he was a baby. I mean, that whole story is just an extraordinary coincidence where you've got Messi, for people who haven't seen them, cradling him as a small infant. And it's pure coincidence. But they're phenomenal things to see today, too.
He looked like a player already, Lamine, didn't he? No, he didn't.
Well, he was a huge baby.
He was a big baby, didn't look like a footballer at all. But this is a sports newspaper in Catalonia called Sport, which they do like a charity calendar every year. And every month is a picture of a player and somebody from the public. Now, that one particular one was organized by UNICEF and the Barcelona Football Club Barcelona Foundation. And UNICEF chose the people that were going to be in the picture. But there was a draw. They wanted an immigrant family. And there was a draw. And Yamal's parents were chosen. It's just, I guess, he was blessed with the touch of Messi. But Messi was a 17-year-old. And as you say, Lamine was just a little baby.
It is extraordinary. Now, can we talk a little bit more about Spain? Because I was really interested to read what you said this morning, that all of this for you began back at the qualifier stage against Georgia. You saw something shift in the Spanish side in that moment. Tell us what you saw.
So this is the qualifier in Tbilisi. And the day before the game, the Federation forgot the boots. So the players didn't have boots. They were walking around with sandals the night before. And they didn't know if they had to basically go to a shop in the morning and buy some boots or what for the game the next day. And there was a bit of laughs, and the young kids like Lamine Yamal and Nico Williams were mixing with the veterans like Rodri or Morata. And it was the first time that there was a sense of family reunion about it. In fact, the word family was used by people that were there at the time. Next day, we played Georgia. Not only we destroyed them 7-1, what also happened was that the two wingers that were going to start that game or started that game got injured in the first half. And the replacements were Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal, and they both scored. And Spain just never looked back after that. So you have to find a click. You have to look back to see where it all started. And I'll point out to that moment.
Mm-hmm. Now, the BBC have a live blog in the run-up to tonight's game where we have England playing the Netherlands. David James, they've just been speaking to on the BBC. He says that the Netherlands have a gung-ho spirit about them. Well, if they do, England are going to have to change how they play, because that's the one thing that England have been lacking, isn't it? Any sort of sense of risk-taking, of pushing, like what we saw Spain do last night, for example.
Yeah, but Claire, what's going to happen is exactly that, because this idea that Netherlands can attack, that is, that they can leave spaces, is going to be exploited by England. It's how I see it. In the other games, everybody was very cagey with England because of their potential and their quality. But Netherlands don't know any other way than go on the attack. Wow, England will enjoy that.
Really?
And I think it will be, yeah, I think so. It's an opportunity to show that talent that way, because there will be more space and more time with the ball.
Because we haven't seen their talent. And we were talking about this earlier in the week on the programme. You know, the collection of players that they have, extraordinary players, you know, the cream of the current crop. But we just haven't seen the quality come together as a team, have we?
No, and the fascinating thing is that it doesn't have to do with, I don't think, with tactics only. It has to do with the mind. There's a lot of fear, a lot of pressure, a lot of feeling that they have to fulfill their potential now. Can you imagine being told that, you know, it has to be now? Not when you can, not when the circumstances are right, not when the context is the correct one. It has to be now, because England went into the tournament, I remember talking to you at the beginning, as if they won it. Anything else is no good. So imagine the pressure of that. But Gareth Southgate yesterday was talking, I don't know if he was doing it as a wish or he really felt that something had happened. They are now in the semi-finals. People seem a little bit more relaxed, and it will be the opportunity to show their potential, especially, as I said, because Netherlands will let England play. It's a great opportunity. I won England in the final, and you can't imagine what I think is going to happen. So please bring them on.
You're ready for England. So you'd be disappointed if the Netherlands come through tonight, would you?
Oh, we can bet them again, but it kind of won't be the same.
Oh, it's going to be so interesting to see what happens tonight. And look, I mean, you're from a country that has to be seen now as the favourites to take this title, right?
Yes, and by the neutrals, as I said earlier as well, I think it would be a good thing for, this sounds a little bit pretentious, but for football, because if these kind of tournaments, even though they are a knockout tournament, even though it's only seven games, and even though it depends on so many things who wins it, the winner tends to create a fashion, a trend. And if the trend is the way we play with yes, aggression, but with creativity, wanting the ball, adapting to whatever happens, with togetherness, with bravery, if that's the fashion, great. We'd all enjoy that. We all want our teams to play that way. So, yesterday, I think I called it, it was Batman versus the Joker. The bad guys were France, for sure, the way they play with the talent they've got. And Batman won, because the good guys tend to win at the end.
Yeah, and Batman's been waiting for a while, because Spain hasn't even won anything since 2010, of course, before then. But there's been a long drought, so there's going to be huge excitement now in Spain over this.
I remember a time when it wasn't just, what is it, 12 years ago that we didn't win anything. It used to be 60 years that we didn't win anything. So for me, 12 years is nothing. In fact, if we never win anything again, we won already a lot. But yeah, now I think if we win, which will be the fourth European Championships, you have to say that in the 21st century, we have been the best nation in the world, because we've won World Cups and European Championships, and because we set trends. We did do that in 2008-2012 era, and I think we could do the same if we win.
Well, who doesn't want to see Batman win, Guillaume? I mean, that's the bottom line, isn't it, for all of the neutrals. Thank you so much for talking to us, and we look forward to the game tonight. That's Guillaume Balaguer.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.